Okay, in the back of this Machisol is the Ma'oran Shal Yisrael, about 20 pages from the end of the Sefer on page Zion, a piece for Chayesara. We'll do the second piece, Ozbeis. It's on page Zion. It's a teaching from the grandfather of the Yismach Yisrael, the grandfather of Shraga Feivel Danziger of Gritza. In this week's Haftorah, Haftorah's Hashavua, it tells us the story of David HaMelech at the end of his life. And there's a fight for the Malchus. The Pasuk says, Malachim Aleph, in the very first parak, of Adonia ben Chagis, Misnase Lomar, Ani Emloch. Adonia, who was the fourth son of David, to David's wife, Chagis, decided that he's going to take the Malucha for himself. David HaMelech is very old, it's the end of his life. So Adonia is already making plans of how he's going to take over the Malchus. Then the next pasuk says, "V'lo atzavo aviv miyamav," and his father never saddened him in his lifetime. And that pasuk is by telling him that you're not going to be the Melech. It sounds like his father allowed him to. Well, David HaMelech was still alive at this point. It sounds like David HaMelech didn't respond, which I guess gave him the impression that what he was doing was okay. Of course, Bathsheba comes. First, you see that the advisors of David HaMelech are not on board with Adonia. And then Bathsheba comes and says, what's going to be with Shlomo? And David HaMelech is mechazik Bathsheba and says, no, Shlomo HaMelech is going to be the future. But you see a little bit of a power struggle. What exactly does it mean, v'lo atzavo aviv miyamav? His father never saddened him. In his lifetime, his father never saddened him. V'hikshe kvod k'dushas Rabbeinu HaKadosh Meran, Roshraga Faiv, Omni Gritza, Zecher Tzadik Levracha L'chayolam Haba. So the Yismach Yisrael's grandfather asked the following question. Was Adonia proper in trying to seize the Malucha or not? If it's proper, so then why doesn't David, in fact, assign it to him? And if it's not proper, so why is David HaMelech not responding to him? Right? Meaning, Maman Avshach. If Adonia is justified in trying to seize the Malchus, so then okay, so David HaMelech should say to Bathsheba, I know you love your son Shlomo, right? But I have other wives as well. And my fourth son is also qualified for the Malchus. And since he's maybe more proactive, maybe he should have the Malchus. I don't know. And if he's totally out of place, so then why does his father not sadden him? Why does his father not put him in his place, give him rebuke? The fact that David didn't respond to Adonia, he didn't want to sadden him, he didn't want to respond to him. I guess Adonia was a good person. He must have been a righteous person. Dimlo kein hayimochicha, because if not, David HaMelech should have rebuked him. V'kevan shayit tzadik, so if in fact Adonia was a tzadik, v'pnei ma lo hayaroy l'malucha, so in what way was he not fit for the Malchus? So what was this? He was apparently a decent candidate. So in what aspect was he not the right candidate? Why was he not the Melech? So we need to understand what it means that his father didn't sadden him. What does it mean that his father didn't sadden him? V'tireitz sha'apei reshu. Dilif amim nimtza adam rasha shuhu ben tzadik. Sometimes you have a person who is a wicked person, who is the son of a very righteous person. V'nosin lif amim al machshavto eich sha'aviv hu tzadik v'hu lehapich. And this person, hopefully, even though he's living a life of a rasha, but he has a pretty good role model of what a person should do. And it crosses his mind. He meditates. He thinks about the fact that my father is a tzaddik and I'm the opposite. And that's not so good. And at the very least, even if he's not ready to change his ways, even if he's not going to adopt his father's way of living, yesh lo tzar ubusha mizeh v'hu ba'atzvus gadola. At least he's embarrassed of his ways. There's an amazing vart from the Kotzker. Once heard this from a friend. The Kotzker said, apparently, I never saw it in any of the Sfarim of the Kotzker Rebbe, but the Kotzker Rebbe apparently said that when Yosef HaTzadik invites Yaakov to Mitzrayim, and he sends him chariots in order to bring him to Mitzrayim, right? And the Torah is clear about Yosef's, you know, proactive efforts to bring Yaakov to Mitzrayim, right? The Kotzker Rebbe said that was Yosef's way of saying, listen, I don't want you to think that I'm not religious anymore. And I'm not going to spread a rumor that I'm religious, you know, somewhat, and I'll come to your house for Shabbos. and you have a kid, let's say, right, who goes a little bit away from the derech of the parents and knows that it would pain the parents to see how the child is living. So the parents say, oh, we want to come visit you on your college campus. So the kid says, I don't want my parents anywhere near my college campus. So he says, no, you know, better I should come visit you. I don't want to trouble you. I'll come visit you. Because he doesn't want his parents to see what he's growing in his dorm room, you understand. So he said, I'll come home, I'll come to your house. I'll help you with the plants at your house. I'll water the plants at your house. Yeah? So Yosef HaTzadik says, I'm not embarrassed of anything. I want you to see, not just that like I'm, you know, borderline, like still religious in Mitzrayim. I'm as frum as I was. That's what the Pasuk says at the beginning of Shemos, right? V'Yosef Hayil B'Mitzrayim. Who remembers the Rashi? Yosef Hayil B'Mitzrayim, the same Yosef he was sitting by his father's side. Yosef Hayil B'Mitzrayim. He's still Yosef B'Mitzrayim. The same Ben Torah, the same Ben Yeshiva, Yosef is still walking around with his tzitzis out. According to some, the beged that Ashes Potiphar grabbed off of Yosef was in fact his tzitzis. Well, interesting mahalach. It's a good Chanukah shir. Maybe we'll get to it this year. Right? But he was still wearing tzitzis in Mitzrayim. He was a firm person in Mitzrayim. He didn't change. Okay, they tried to give him a new name. They tried to relabel him. Tzafnas Paneach, Avreich, whatever they were calling him. But that was how they labeled him. He said, I'm Yosef ben Yaakov. He knew who he was. He was very proud. He was very proud of who he was. And therefore, says the Kotzke Rebbe, he invited his father to Mitzrayim as if to say, I've got nothing to hide. I want you to come to Mitzrayim. I want you to come to my house. I want you to see. And Yaakov is impressed, right? The reason we bless our children, many of the tzaddikim explain, Yisimcha Elokim Kefrayim v'chamenasha. Wow. Look, you raised from kids in Mitzrayim. Yaakov looks at his grandchildren and he says, this is pretty impressive. And we give our children a bracha. Wherever we go in the world, we should be able to also raise a nice, fine Jewish family. Yisimcha Elokim Kefrayim v'chamenasha. Yeah, so when a person comes into contact with someone who is just, even if they're not living a righteous life, at the very least it's humbling, it's embarrassing, and that itself is a shtickle tshuva, even if they're not going to change their ways. They're a little bit saddened, even if, again, they're not going to change their ways, but they see a nice religious family and they say, you know what, I'm a little sad that I'm not living like that. I feel like it's too hard to be religious, whatever conclusion they come to, but it makes them a little sad. There's something very beautiful about the way this righteous person lives their life. And at the very least, it bothers me. Af she'achar kachozer l'suro, even if afterwards you go back to your old ways. Mikol makom l'fi shahu osa tshuva. But for a moment, at the very least, when you're in the presence of greatness, even if you walk out of that place and you're unchanged in terms of your practices, but for a moment you are humbled by a great person. You're in the presence of a righteous person. Your life was a little less hefker, if only for a moment. But that was the problem with Adonia. The problem with Adonia was not wasn't a question of David HaMelech giving him tochacha. It was a question of being self-aware to realize my father is David HaMelech. And there's a certain way that a son of David HaMelech is expected to feel and to act. So when the Pasuk says, excuse me, Shalo Atzavo Aviv Miyamav, it's not a question of whether or not David said anything to him. He was never saddened by the life of David HaMelech. He never felt inferior to David HaMelech, and that's a problem. If you don't have the self-awareness to realize, if you're not self-aware enough to realize when you're in the presence of someone who's greater than you, right, that's a serious problem. It says, Shraga Faival of Gritza, Sechet Tzadik Levracha, that was the problem of Adonia. Hainu shalo hayalo af pam shum atzvas mizeh, sh'aviv hayitzadik gadol. He wasn't bothered by the fact, okay, so my father's a big tzaddik. That should motivate a person. That should drive a person. When we have role models, this is why it's so important. You know, Bezriel, I've been talking about this a lot. The importance of having a good chevra, hanging out with the right people. When you hang out with people who are a little better, a little more driven than you, a little more religious than you, a little more inspired than you, so that hopefully lifts you up. And when you hang out with people who are not, right, so typically that drags you down. Right? The problem with Adonia was that he was in the presence of greatness, but failed to realize it. It didn't bother him that his father was a big tzaddik, and he was not such a big tzaddik. And that should bother a person. Again, that's a shtickle tshuva, he's saying. When a person is in the presence of a great person and recognizes that, at the very least, it's a humbling thing. And it's a good way to remind ourselves of, again, what is feasible in this world. Go ask Rav Shechter a simple question in the Beis Medrash, just to talk to him for a minute. It's an important experience for a person to have. There's a lot of very, very big people in our yeshiva, who many people don't even know who they are, and if they know who they are, they don't interact with them. But there's many great Rosh Yeshiva who are available to us, and ask for Meir Tversky if you can have a 5-minute conversation about life with him. I guarantee it'll change your life. Right? It'll give a person some perspective. And again, it may not change your life in the way that you're a totally different person afterwards, although it may. It's possible. Right? But at the very least, for those 5 minutes, you'll feel like, wow, I see what an exalted human being looks like. And that's an important experience for a person to have, and that was the failure of Adonia to recognize the godless of David HaMelech, and to really absorb the schus of living in the presence of David HaMelech. Okay, let's go back now to the front part of the Sefer, page 68, Chai Sara Oshai. Okay, it's a very long piece. We're going to try to do about half of it. The second half gets pretty Kabbalistic, but the first half is very Yesodistic. It's not something totally new for us. We'll see certain themes repeat a lot in Yismach Yisrael, but let's see. Yeah.
So as that, the end of that idea, like, go back to the beginning, that his father never saddened him.
Right, so his father never saddened him is saying, in terms of his ability to look at his father and be saddened by the fact, right, it wasn't so much about what David said to him. His father's life never saddened him. Living in the shadow of his father never saddened him. Again, not depressed. You're not going to be David HaMelech. But you should be able to reflect on the fact that my father's a David HaMelech, and that one of the most I'll give you a simple proof. One of the most outstanding traits of David HaMelech is his shiftlessness, his humility. David HaMelech was a very humble person. As he wrote, describes his insecurities throughout Sefer Tehillim, very honest, very raw. His very name, the Svarim HaKadoshim explained, David, Dalid, Vav, Dalid. Right? Dal means poor or meek, humble. So he's Dal, he's humble, Vid Dalid, and more humble. David HaMelech is Malchus. David HaMelech corresponds to Malchus in the Sphiros, in the 7 lower Sphiros, in the 7 Ushpizen of Sukkos. David HaMelech is Malchus. And about Malchus, the Zohar Kadosh says, Leis Lei Migarmei Klum, it has nothing of its own. It's compared to the moon, which reflects the light of the sun. David HaMelech was very humble. So how does Adonia seize the Malchus? Chutzpah. Father's not even dead yet. David HaMelech's at the end of his life, and all of a sudden Adonia's already, you know, making moves to take the Malchus for himself. It's not proper. So he wasn't properly humbled, and he didn't learn the lesson of his father. Okay? And that was his failure. Okay, a lot to think about there. Okay, let's take a look at Oshei on page 68. There's a medrash in this week's parsha. We actually touched on this medrash on Sunday for those who were here, but a totally different mahalach today. The medrash Rabbi Ksiv, everyone have it on page 68? Left hand column. The medrash Rabbi Ksiv. Pasuk says in Mishlei, Eved Maschil Yimshol Beben Mevish. An Eved Maschil, a wise Eved, shall rule over a Ben Mevish, a disgraceful child. Uvisoch Achim, and amongst the brothers, Yachalok Nachala. The inheritance shall be divided. Right? A better almost a wise Eved, right, than a rebellious son. Who is a wise Eved in this week's Parsha, of course, says the Medrash, Eved Maschil, Ze Eliezer. Eliezer Eved Avram was a very smart Eved. We spoke a little bit on Sunday what was so smart about Eliezer. Yimshol beben Mevish shall rule over the ben Mevish, the embarrassing child, the disgraceful child, right? Busha. So says the Medrash in a positive way, who's the Ben Mavish? Yitzchak. Yitzchak's a disgrace? No. Yitzchak is one who is Mavish. He disgraced others. Yitzchak put everyone to shame. How so? Zeh Yitzchak shubiyesh as kol umas ha'olam b'shal shenekar al gavi mizbeach. Yitzchak put the whole world to shame when he made the ultimate sacrifice for God. Because there's people in the world who claim, yeah, I also believe in God. Nah, come on. Compared to Yitzchak, Yitzchak put the whole world to shame. His willingness to sacrifice himself put the whole world to shame. Put all of the umos ha'olam to shame at the time of the Akedah. Uvesoch achim yachalok nachala. The end of the pasuk. Amongst the brothers, the inheritance shall be divided. Besoch Yisrael. Ma'elu mazkirin zuchos avos. Avze mazkir zuchos avos. So we're saying that Eliezer Eved Avram, in a certain way, was even greater than Yitzchak, who put the whole world to shame. And amongst the Jewish people, he also has a shaychus to Zchus Avos. Even though he's not one of our people. Eliezer was not at all one of our people. But Eliezer, just like Klal Yisrael, are mazkirin zchus avos, just like we live off of the merits of our forefathers, so too Eliezer is mazkirin zchus avos. Eliezer can also claim to have, I also have zchus avos. Oh, he is? No, Afzem Mazkir Zchus Avos. I don't think it's saying that he becomes, I don't think we're saying Eliezer is one of the Avos whose merit we live in. But you'll see from the piece, you'll see how he attached himself to Avram Avinu, and therefore almost, you know, he almost grafted himself onto the tree of life, the Jewish people, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Okay, so let's see. Ulevar divrei hamedrash al pi maimer chazal. There's a Gemara in Brachos that says the following. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shum ben Yochai miyom shabara kadosh baruch hu es haolam lo haya adam shakara la kadosh baruch hu adon at shaba afram ukra adon. There was no one, says Rabbi Shum ben Yochai, there was no one from the creation of the world who called Hashem Adon, the master. Adon olam Hashem alach. Adon hakol, the master. No one called Hashem Adon until Avraham came along. Shenemar vayomer Hashem Elokim bama eda. Right? Not Hashem Elokim. Well, if the, right. Hashem Elokim is pronounced right Adon. Aleph Dalet. Right? So Avraham says Hashem Elokim Ado Elokim. So he called the master of the world. Hashem was called Adon. Okay. Amar Rav continues the Gemara. Af Daniel lo nene ele bishvil Avraham. Daniel, in all of his struggles, was saved in the merit of Avram Avinu. Where do you see that? In Daniel Perek Tes, Va'ata, Shema Elokeinu al Tfilas Avdecha, Ve'el Tachanu Nav, V'ha'er V'chulu, Hashem, shine your light upon me, Leman Adonai. So, what does that mean? Leman, right? It should say, Lemancha, you're talking to God. Why do you have to say Leman Hashem? If you're davening to Hashem, and I'm saying, please save me in the merit of Hashem. I should just say, please save me lemancha, in your merit. Lemancha, for your sake. Says the Gemara, lemancha mi ba'ilei. It should have said lemancha. What's leman Hashem? You're talking to Hashem. You don't have to say leman Hashem when you're talking to Hashem. Ela leman Avraham. Shekaracha Adon. Top of the next page. Top of page 69. Rather, Daniel was saying, save me leman in the sake or in the merit of the one who said Adon. The one who first called you Adon. What does it mean? What was so great about Avram calling Hashem by the name of Aleph and Dalet and Nun and Yud? Which means Hashem is the Adon HaKol, the master of all. What was the Chiddush in that? Ubiyar inyan al pi divrei Rashi. Rashi explains on the Pasuk, Hashem Elokei HaShemayim V'lo Amar Elokei HaAretz. In Perachav Dalit Pasuk Zayin, it says that Hashem is the God of the heavens. But it doesn't mention anything about being God on earth. However, a few psukim earlier in Perachav Dalit Pasuk Gimel, Avram Avinu says, Vashbiacha v'chulu. What's that pasuk? I'll swear by Elokei Hashemayim ve'Elokei Haaretz. Amar Lei, Achshav hu Elokei Hashemayim ve'Elokei Haaretz, Aval kishalakachni mi'beis avi, Haya Elokei Hashemayim v'lo Elokei Haaretz. Avram Avinu, as Rashi explains, why does Avram sometimes call Hashem the God of heavens and sometimes God of heaven and earth? So Avram is saying, now, in the first Pasuk, Pasuk Gimel, now you're I swear by the God of heaven and earth. Hashem, my relationship with you now is one of what? A recognition that you are the God of heaven and earth. However, in Pasuk Zion, when Avram is referencing life before he really got to know God, he says, in the olden days, you used to just be, before I came along, you were just what? You were just Elokei Hashemayim. Everyone knew about God out there, but I was the one who taught people that God also exists down here. Explains the Yismach Yisrael very, very yesodistic. Listen to this next paragraph. Va'inin al-pi, ha-kosuf. We can explain based on the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, in Tehillim Kuf Lamites, Asher yom recha l'mezima. There are those who pronounce your name, right? Yom Recha, they mention you, they reference you. Lemezima, Kasher Zomam, Edim Zomamim. Edim Zomamim are witnesses who come and they lie and they get busted. Right? So let's translate mazima here as what? There are those who mention you with wicked intent. The mazima, for their wicked schemes. Why would someone mention God? Why would someone talk to... If I want to be wicked, so I run away from God, I have nothing to do with God. How do I mention God? How do I talk about God in a way that's really self-serving and actually drives God away? It's an amazing pasuk. Also shows the amazing bekiyas of the Yismach Yisrael, that he can just pull out these psukim. I mean, just look through the piece so far. You'll see. Just pulls psukim from all over the place to make this beautiful ma'areches. Yeah, so what does it mean? Asher yom rechol l'mazima. There are those who pronounce your name for wicked schemes. What does that mean? There are people who try to push God out into the heavens. Yeah, God is so great. God's not in this lowly world. That's only because they want to get out of the shadow of God so that they can do what they want. They want to be freed from Hashem staring at them. So it's easy to put Hashem all the way out there. So there are people who are merom v'sakadosh baruch hu. Let's keep God way up in the heavens, busy with his angels. Ram al kol goyim Hashem. The goyim want Hashem to be way out there. This God who's what? Who's totally transcendent. But of course, Chassidus, and here we're saying Avram Avinu, began the Chiddush of trying to push back in a very strong way. So much of Torah Sval Shem Tov is about this push to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu not just into transcendent realms all the way out there, but that God should be imminent in our lives. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouldn't just be what? Sovev Kol Almin, somewhere out there, which is also true, but Hashem should be Mamale Kol Almin. Hashem should fill all of our reality. Hainu Asher L'Romimus Hashem Yisbarach Ein Kvodo L'Ashkiach Al Aretz Ashvela. There are people who like to convince themselves that God is so lofty, it's beneath His honor, it's beneath His dignity, to be busy paying attention to lowly creatures on earth. Let's keep him out there. It's better. I don't need Hashem hanging out in my dorm room the same way I didn't want my parents to come to my dorm room in the mashal I gave before. Right, just like Hashem is so elevated, so his yeshiva, his place of dwelling, is above. Plenty of stuff out there. God can be very busy. There's plenty of angels. There's plenty of heavenly hosts for Hashem to watch over. But in this foolish way of thinking, when they're claiming, no, God is too great for this world. It sounds like a big compliment, no? God is so great. You're trying to defend the honor of Hashem. Hashem is better than this world. Hashem doesn't deserve this world. He should be above this world. Hey, magbilim erech romas Hashem. By doing that, you know what they're doing? They're magbilim Erech Romus Hashem. What does Magbila mean? They're placing boundaries. That's right. They're creating a gvul. Magbila means that you're what? You're limiting Hashem. You think you're saying, no, God is too good for this world. So you're saying that God can't interact with this world. What's going to happen? Hashem's going to get involved with our world and what? Hashem's going to go off the derech? We're going to be a bad influence on him? What's going to happen? Hashem was the only one who could come to Mitzrayim. Anivelo Malach, Anivelo Saraf, Anivelo Ashliach. Only Hashem could come into certain places. The greatest chiddush of all time, by Yerid Hashem al Har Sinai, that God comes down to this world. So it's a foolish way to think, and you're not actually praising Hashem, of course you're limiting Hashem, and it's all self-serving, Asher Yom Ruchol L'Mazima, again, you're pronouncing the name of God for your own wicked schemes, for your own personal desires, and you're creating limitations on Hashem's ability. Sha'orim Shilafi Erech Kvodav Roma Muso, Ya'us lo yeshivasa b'shamayim ma'al. Hashem, it's more appropriate for your honor to stay beyond. Aval anu ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. But we are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. We're Jews who know the truth. Right? Ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, as Chazal referred to us at times. B'romus Hashem shu ein sof v'ein cheker. What's the gematria ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim? I think I know what it is. Let's quick check it. Let's see. 150,
the regular. Well, maybe it's not.
Four forty-four.
Okay, I don't remember. Okay. If you want, you might have it. It's an old. I don't know if you're gonna have it. Tell me if you do.
But we Jews who believe that what? That Hashem is Ein Sof, Ein Cheker, that Hashem is limitless. So what's our response when the Umos HaOlam, Ram Al Kol Goyim Hashem, Hashem is way out there according to the Goyim. What's our response? No. I'll look it up. Hamashpili Liros Vashamayim Uvaretz. Hamashpili, Hashem is Mashpil. Hashem lowers Himself what? Liros bashamayim uva'aretz. And that was the chiddush of Avram Avinu. Hashem elokei hashamayim ve'elokei ha'aretz. Perech avdali pasuk gimel. Osa hashfala shu ba'aretz l'fi chvodo hu gam al hashamayim. Shu bilti bal tachlis ein sof ein cheker. You're not praising Hashem by pushing Hashem into the farthest recesses of outer space. By bringing Hashem in and by showing that every place is infused with the light of Hashem, that's saying something to Hashem. That's a kavod to Hashem. That's real kavod to Hashem. As the Navi Yeshaya says, "Ve'elmi sidamyuni ve'eshveh." Who can be equated with me? Who can be compared to me? U'kamayim rakosav kiram Hashem v'shafil yira. Hashem says it's all shaveh by me. It's all equal by me. Above, below, it's all equal by me. Hashem is interested in all of it because Hashem is all of it. All of it is Hashem. Every bit of it, as we learned in Yoshua Devar Yemes this past Tuesday night, Einon Mavado Kipshuto, the way the Shalak Kadosh and the Baal Shem Tov and all the Tzaddikim explained it, Einon Mavado means there is nothing besides Hashem. So what do you mean? You're trying to claim this lower realm operates independently from God? That's the biggest insult to God. Hashem's not the king down below, he's only the king up there. He's a melech ba'aretz. That's the greatest compliment. Ki ram Hashem, of course, Hashem is elevated. V'shafal yir'eh, says David HaMelech. But he's also able to see what's happening down here. Shim yir'eh v'yavin v'romas Hashem yisbarach, shafal yir'eh. That if you recognize the greatness of Hashem, then also shafal yir'eh. Yir'eh v'yeda shakol shafal u'pachos negdo. That everything is equal by him. And that's why we're working on trying to make everything equal by us. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi tavid. Baal Shem Tov said, Shivisi is lashon hishtavus. It should all be equal by me. Of course, you can't start like that. We have to create, right? When you educate someone, you have to show them that there's, to teach people in levels. You can't get there instantly. What do I mean by that? It means you can't teach a child that a Sefer Torah and a football are all equal. Even though it's some deep, deep way, there is some. Yeah, they both reflect the light of Hashem in this world. But obviously, since most people don't know how to see that, so we have to teach a child the Sefer Torah is Kadosh, and a football is a football. It's a toy. Right? And if the football falls on the floor, it's not a problem. If the Torah falls on the floor, oy va'avoy. Right? But as we mature, we start to what? Like we say in the davening on Yom Noram, or again, what Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid really means, Hishtavus. To flatten everything out, we say in Yom Noram Davening that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is what? Hashem is Mashve, Katan, V'Gadol. Hashem equates big and small. Because if you really believe that it's all reflecting Hashem in this world, so it's all equal. It's not any less of a spiritual opportunity to do something quote-unquote mundane than it is to do something spiritual. Of course, it's easier to feel the light of Hashem when you do certain activities. But Shafel Yira, HaKol Shafel U'Pachos Negdo, everything is equal by him. Rak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzamsem. Look at these lines. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzamsem Yikras Kvodo V'Gdulaso U'Mashkiach B'Shamayim U'Varetz. Hashem, in His great kindness to us, contracts Himself and allows Himself to what? To enter into our world. Into this physical world. To be present in this world. To pay attention to this world. To be with me every step of my life. Al Kol Bruei Mala U'Mata. That Hashem is able to dominate Shamayim and Aretz. All creations above and below. Ve'ein shum hefresh v'hevdel bein eretz l'shamayim. Should underline that line. Ve'ein shum hefresh v'hevdel. From Hashem's perspective, there's literally no difference between shamayim and eretz. Which is why we as Jews need to train ourselves to think like Hashem's perspective. Not, God forbid, to talk about Hashem being somewhere out there, but to live again with the imminent presence of Hashem in your life. Whereas Chazal explained in the Mishnah, in Maseches Brachos, is a beautiful, clear example to prove his point. B'mas Nisan, it was taught in the Mishnah, Kol Chos Mei Brachos Sheba Mikdash Hayu Omrim Ad HaOlam. It used to be, we would say, in concluding a bracha, that Hashem is Hashem Ad HaOlam. Mishakilkulu Aminim, when the heretics started to assign God to different places, to the exclusion of other places, V'amru Ein Olam Ela Echad, that God should be the God of the Olam, so we changed the Nusach. Hiskinu Shai Omer Meha Olam Ve'ad HaOlam. From world to world. We would conclude brachos that God is God, Meha Olam Ve'ad HaOlam. What does that mean? Hainu Shatzadukim Hayu Omerim She'ein Olam Ela Echad. So we would think, the Pashup Pshat is, how did the heretics mess things up? They claim that there's only one world, means what? This world. This world. That's the Pashup Pshat. There's only this world, there's no afterlife. So we responded by saying, Me'a olam ad olam, there's this world and there's a next world. But the Yismach Yisrael says, no, the opposite. Right? The heretics, those who have a shallow understanding of theology and how God actually operates, they say God only has one world, means what? God's up there. And our response, Me'a olam ad olam, is saying that God is not only up there, He's also down here. That they claim, three lines from the bottom, Shashka chasahu ba'olam ha'elyon. Right? There were many great Greek philosophers who believed that. They believed in some higher power, but he was somewhere out there. And the lower world is given over to what? To the ma'areches ha'shamayim, to the natural order of things. To the constellations. Hashem put things in motion, and it continues to... Again, he put it in motion, but he's not actively involved day in and day out. So therefore, yiskinu shayom mei olam vada olam. So we responded to that by saying, what? That God is God, mei olam ve'ara olam. That Hashem is God from this world to that world and back. Shumashkiach be'al yonim tapet lefkalim v'tachtonim umolo chola aretz kavodo. Don't make the mistake to think that God is limited in any capacity. You're not doing Hashem a favor by saying, you're too big for my little petty problems, Hashem. That's heresy. If you believe in God, bring Hashem into your smallest, tiniest details of your life. Don't pretend that, you know, anything that you do is outside of Hashem. Nah, I don't want to bother Hashem with this. I'm not going to talk to Hashem about it. I don't want to bother Hashem with this. Bother Hashem with it. You should bother Hashem with it. We learned a story once in Vani Tfila with the Rebbe of Chernobyl. Nani, you remember the story? Who was it?
The
Chernobyl? Yeah, with the maid. The Chernobyl, right? That one of the rebbes of Chernobyl was once seen standing in the corner, like davening, and like intense chuckling and crying. And so one of the chassidim went over. He wanted to hear about, you know, like, you know, maybe there's like a pogrom or something. He went over and he hears him begging Hashem, Hashem, please, the cleaning help who would help my wife and assist my rebbetzin in the house is quitting on us. And Hashem, I need you to convince her not to quit. So the chassid said, this is what like you pour out your heart to Hashem about, like, why are you bothering Hashem with these little things? So you get another cleaning lady, you know, get another maid to help out in the house. And every Chernobyl looked at him as if, like, what are you even talking about? Like, if I don't talk to Hashem about this, who do I talk to? All the small details of my life, of course, that's Hashem's domain. That's Hashem's territory. It's heresy to think that, oh, this is a small problem. I got this one. Hashem, I'll bother you when I have, like, real tsars. This one I can handle on my own. That's a terrible mistake. That's a mistaken way of thinking. To realize that Hashem is Mashkiach be'alyonim v'tachtonim melochol aretz kvodo. V'zeh hayu taos ha'amim ha'kadmonim. And this was the mistake, again, before Avram. Avram was not the first person to ever contemplate God. But Avram was the first one to call Hashem Adon. Adon in what sense? Master of all. Elokei ha'shamayim ve'elokei ha'aretz. Kishaba Avram avinu olav ha'shalom piersim elokuso ba'olam. When Avram came to spread the word, and Avram traveled the world, this world, to bring godliness to this world. Ki Ram Hashem, ki Ein Sof ve'Ein Cheker. That's the abbreviation. Ein Sof, Hashem is limitless. Ve'Ein Cheker is beyond our understanding. L'gedulasa. U'kafi Gadlo Kein Anvasanuso. But that's part of Hashem's greatness. In accordance with His greatness, so is His humility.
What does that mean, God's humility? God's humility, kiviyachol, to lower himself down to our world. That's the sign that he's such a great God. Vayeved Hashem al Harsinai, his willingness to come down to this world is the proof, right? It's an expression of his absolute control over all, but it's also Hashem humbling himself, if you could say such a thing, to want us human beings to have a relationship with him. He doesn't need us, bichlal. It's a total act of kindness and humility and generosity and goodness that Hashem interacts with us. So it's his, in accordance with his greatness, is his humility. U'mashkiach b'shvalim, that Hashem interacts with the lowest of the low. There's no place in the world that is devoid of God's presence. There's no Jew in the world who's disconnected from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'leis asar panui minei, ve'ein aloka zulaso. There is no, atar means a place. There's no place that is empty of him, devoid of him. And there is no God besides him. V'achar kach af kishayu ma'aminim od, hayu om shirak la'odam ha'mufchar ha'yitzurim nisgal lo'kuso. And as the theology, the philosophy of the world matured, they said, well, no, God does interact with some people in this world, but only really great people. V'gam shirak ala nashim tzadikim shedvukim etzlo b'dveikis nifla. Only those people who are what? Who are like princes, children of the king. They have access to the king, but not everyone. A commoner doesn't have access to the king the same way. As the Gemara seems to imply. The Gemara says, in Bava Basra, Daf Yud, Kisha osin ritzono shel makom, when we do the will of God, nikraim banim, we're called Hashem's children. Kisha ein osin ritzono shel makom, nikraim avadim. When we don't do God's will, if we're not tzaddikim, then we're avadim. And an eved can't walk into the king whenever he desires. But Avram came along and he said, that's simply not true. Hashem is big enough for the lowest person. And Hashem in his humility still is interested in pursuing. It's such a chutzpah if you think about it. That we make Hashem chase after us. We should be chasing after Hashem. And at Kadosh Baruch, we run away from Hashem, and Hashem chases after us. You're making the Melech chase after you and bring you back? It's crazy. But Hashem in his humility does it. He doesn't give up on us. Avram, who's the first real Ma'amin, as Chazal referred to him, is Tchilaso Legerim, he's the real first convert, the real first believer. Eitan Hikir Emunasecha, right, with tremendous strength, he recognized a different type of amuna. Gila lahem ta'usam, and he taught the world the following two mistakes. Who pierced him elokusa ba'olam, and he spread godliness in the world. Okay, here are the two mistakes that Avram corrected. We'll do this paragraph and just one more paragraph. We'll try to tie it back to our opening comment about Eliezer. So what did Avram do to correct the mistakes? What were the two mistakes? Achas kitol b'shtayim. The world had two erroneous ways of thinking. Achas, number one, shabore baruchu hu bore umanig l'chol habruim v'shave umashve katan v'gadol. The notion that God is somewhere out there and not down here, or the less mistaken but equally incorrect notion that God is only down here for some people, is simply not true. Avram corrected and taught people that what? That Hashem is the Bori and the Manig. Hashem is the creator and the leader, the one who guides all creation. And by Hashem, it's all equal, katan v'gadol. V'amar hinei naho alti l'daber el aleph dalet nun and yud. Avram says, I am beginning to speak to aleph dalet nun and yud. I'm the first one to call Hashem Adon, master of all. L'adon chol ha'aretz, shumashkiach al hakol. Hashem pays attention to anyone and to everyone. This is a big chizik, I find, for people who are struggling with their religiosity. Because they've certainly convinced themselves, at the very least, that God is not interested in me. And to tell a person that Hashem is very interested in you, in fact, Hashem is so interested in you, I always use the Lashon of the Rambam in a letter, where the Rambam, Maimonides, wrote in a letter, right, that Yeravam ben Nevat, I told you this before. But Yoram ben Nevat was chote umachti, described by the Navi as what? Sinning and causing others to sin. Mamish with Avodah Zar, one of the worst of the worst, Yoram ben Nevat. That Yoram ben Nevat is also
held accountable for not making Erev Tavshilin. Rav Ben David is held accountable, right, for a halacha that people don't even really understand so much or sometimes forget to do and rely on the rabbis, Erev Tavshilin, whatever it is. You know, we have a Shabbos and Yom Tov that are side by side. Don't forget to make an Erev Tavshilin. Rav Ben David says, Ribbono Shalom, I've got much bigger problems than Erev Tavshilin. I have much bigger avers I have to deal with. So I like to tell people I can only say it to someone you have a relationship with, but I have students from over the years who are, you know, Mechalei Shabbos, and they eat treif, and they're living with non-Jewish girls. And I remind them every now and again, you know, there's a halacha, you're supposed to put your right shoe on before your left shoe. The rabbi, I got much bigger problems. If this turns out to be true, if this Judaism thing is true, I've got much bigger problems than right shoe than left shoe. I said, no, that's also, you know, something you're going to have to answer for. Right? And what it says to the person is that, what do you mean? Like, but I dropped out already. I don't have to do the right shoe, left shoe thing. That's for, like, people who are certainly doing the basics. I'm not even doing the basics. I don't have to know that halach about first put on your right shoe, then your left shoe. And by telling the person that you do have to care about that, is your way of saying to them, and I explain it to them, that means there's no dropping out. There's no converting out of Judaism. And that's part of what Avram Avinu was teaching. Avram went to idol worshippers and said, come believe in the one true God. My whole life has been against that. Avram says, my life is also against that. So what? Hashem is here. Hashem is paying attention. Like we learned yesterday, that amazing piece of Torah from Rabbi Leibel HaEger. Whenever you want to make your bris with Hashem, whenever you want to be mekabel the Torah, go for it. So Avram taught people, Gamal anoshim pechusim u'shveilim, the lowest people. Ki ga me'aretz nucha ledaber elav rak b'tanai sh'neida shiflo senu. Okay, couldn't avoid saying that. The Yismach Yisrael says, of course, it takes a certain humility again to be able to do such a thing, to be open to making that change and recognizing that Hashem is so great, and having the humility to attach yourself to Hashem, who is so great and yet humbles Himself. As Chazal explained in the Gemara in Sota, that Avram Avinu hayamakri shem shemayim b'fi kol. Avram Avinu taught everyone to talk about God. And what was Avram's main mesechta that he taught people? He invited them for Kiddush. Chazal don't talk about Avram sitting and learning with people. He taught them, he said, you're eating, you're engaged in Gashmias, make a blessing. Thank God for the food. He didn't teach them philosophy. He taught them how to engage in physical things with an awareness of God. He's makri shem shemayim b'fi kol. He taught people how to make a bracha. Say thank you to Hashem for your health and for your food and for your clothing. Hashem says to Avram, no one knew about me. And you taught people about me. You taught the world about me. You taught people to talk about me. So that was the first mistake that Avram corrected. Hashem is not somewhere out there, and Hashem is not only for tzaddikim. Every Jew and everything that we do should be connected and aware of Hashem's involvement in their life. Secondly, v'tos habeis, but the second mistake that Avram corrected, ki b'chinas b'nei adam k'she'ein osim ritzono shamakum dekra mavadim, that Gemara that we mentioned a moment ago, the Gemara that says that what, when you don't do the will of Hashem, you're like an eved. So we get this picture that you're cast away, you're not doing the will of Hashem, so Hashem's not paying attention to you. Lo ka'avadim shamardim b'rapim, God forbid. Says the Yismach Yisrael. That's not to say that you become like an Eved who has rebelled against his master. Shah is Ein L'Ravim Shum Shaychus Bem. We're not talking about an Eved who did something rebellious that the king is going to chop his head off or he's going to exile him and say, never see my face again. Ki Ein L'Harav Shum Kinyan Atzmius B'ha Eved. Ra Kinyan Kaspo Kinyan Chitzoni. Why is it that the master can say, I'm done with this Eved, get rid of it, I don't want to see him ever again? The reason is because the Eved is a possession. The Eved is an object. The Eved is mamono. Right? We learned in Bava Kama this week. The Chiddush, that my Eved can burn down someone else's haystack and I don't pay for it, is because we don't want the Eved to abuse that power. He'll burn down the haystack if he's mad at me and I'll have to pay for it. But really, in a certain sense, my Eved is just what? Another one of my possessions. I have Betsy the cow and I have whatever the Eved, you know? Bob the Eved. It should just be something that I own. And therefore, just like I could sell Betsy, I could sell Bob. I can get rid of him. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we don't understand when the Gemara says that if you don't serve Hashem properly, you're like an Eved. That doesn't mean God threw you out. Hashem can't throw you out. You know why? Because there's a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu inside of you. And because Banam Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. And just like you can't divorce your child, you can divorce your spouse, and you can fire your Eved. But you can't divorce your child because your child is a piece of you, has a biological reality that reflects something of you. It's a kinyan atzmis, says the Yismach Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chelek Hashem amo. V'hu baranu v'av echad l'kulanu. Hashem is our father. V'yesh lo kinyan atzmi yisbanu. Hashem has a what? An essential bond to us. It's not just a monetary relationship that we have. Not an item to be passed around. K'mo av she'yesh lo kinyan atzmi yisbanu. Just like the father has a kinyan be'etzem in the child. That the etzem and the basar is who? It's him. It's an expression of him. My flesh, my bones. They can all identify, scientifically can identify who my mother and who my father are. The kinyan atzmi hu kinyan olamis. And a kinyan that is essential, atzmi means essential, an essential kinyan is an eternal kinyan. That which is essential does not fade away.
But
the things that I own can be traded, can be sold, it doesn't last forever. So when we act properly, Hashem is that much more connected to us. But even when we don't act properly, says the Yismach Yisrael, and we're called avadim, it's not like an eved who can just be discarded or traded away. But we're still connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he brings a clear pasuk that says it, Ki ani Hashem shochein itah b'soch tumasam. I am God who dwells with you, who lives with you, who is connected to you, even what? Even in your lowly state. Okay, so just turn the page and let's just get to the punchline. I'm going to tell it to you more outside than inside. The next two paragraphs are beautiful, but let's just jump to Vizeh. Here's the last paragraph for today. Vizeh. Left column. Vizeh u'divrei ha-medrash yischalnu. Let's go back to the medrash we began with. We started with a medrash on the pasuk in Mishlei, Eved Maschil Yimshel v'ben Mevish, u'besoch achim yachalok nachala. Who's the Eved Maschil? Eliezer. What's so great about Eliezer? What was so unbelievable about Eliezer? What's amazing about Eliezer is the fact that he was an outsider, and he was able to attach himself to Beis Avram in almost a permanent way. That's a big chiddush. A Jew who's born a Jew, right, it's not a chiddush that he maintains a connection to God, because he is. It's the fact of his existence. Can't change that. But that Eliezer should go from the world of being cursed, the descendant of Canaan, to attaching himself to Avram Avinu, to the point that he could say that Avram is my father as much as he's our father, that's a big chiddush. V'zehu divrei ha-medrash yischalnu. Eliezer, hizkir zuchus adono. Eliezer is able to mention the merit of his master. Eliezer says, "You're an Eved. Why are you talking as if Avram's like someone that, you know, that you're allowed to gain respect for? You're just the Eved. You're just a lowly Eved." Va'afki la'adon yeshlo ala Eved rak kinyan chitzoni, kinyan kaspo. And even though an Eved is essentially nothing other than a possession of his master, calls that Eved da'alma. That's just a stam Eved. But what we learned today is that Jews are also avadim. We're called avadim. When we're not good Jews, we're avadim. Eliezer is the opposite. When he's a really good Eved, he gets bumped up from lower status Eved, an Eved that can be traded away, to what? To an Eved who becomes mekusher to the etzem of his Rebbe. That's why Avram Avinu with the kolal is gematria Eliezer. They're mamash one. They're bound to each other in a very deep way. Aval eved shelo meitzel rabo Torah yesh lo rabo kinyan atzmi yisbo. Eliezer wasn't just a worker for Avram. He was what? He was his Talmud Muvhak. He clung to his every word. He became part of his family in that way, through the bond of Torah. V'hainu kamasha kasa b'sfarim hakadoshim sharebi molid haneshama v'av molid haguf. Powerful idea. A father who doesn't necessarily teach you most of your Torah gives you your body. It's your rebbeim, it's those who teach you Torah who give you your neshama. As the pasuk says, when Eliyahu is ascending in Malachim Beis up to the heavens in a fiery chariot, and his beloved Talmud Elisha can't bear to see him go. And he cries out, Avi, Avi, my father, Rechav Yisrael. Eliyahu wasn't his father, it was his Rebbe. But a Rebbe is like a father in a certain sense. Vayedeza yeshlo kinyan atzmius. And therefore there's a what? An essential bond between a Rebbe and a Talmud. It has to be appreciated, it has to be developed. The Rebbe makes commitments to the Talmud makes commitments to the Rebbe, and they grow together, they enhance each other. Talmidai Yosem Mikulam, the Gemara says. Rebbe learns more from his Talmud than he learns from his own Rebbe. The same way a parent learns so much from their own children, even though the parent is the older one and the wiser one. So Eliezer Eved Avram, Shayadolu Mashka Mitoras Rabu Lacherim. So Eliezer Eved Avram, who is clinging to his Rebbe's Torah of Avram Avinu, Vahayala Avram Avinu, Olav Shalom Bo Kinyan Atzmius, Vizehai Yachol Likros Chosavos. So therefore Eliezer became part of our family in an amazing way. The holy Eliezer Eved Avram. Zeu Medrash, and that's what the Medrash is saying. Eved Maskil, Ze Eliezer. Hainu Shalamad Torah Kadosha, Shemashpia Seicha V'Chochma LaHogaba. Eliezer was not only a Talmud, he was a good Rebbe. He was Dola Umashka. He served out his Rebbe's Torah. He learned his Rebbe's Torah and then he passed it on to others. The Torah of spreading Hashem in the world. That was the amazing Madrig of Eliezer. Ukamayim Rakasuv Machimas Pesi. And therefore, the end of the pasuk, amongst the brothers, Yachalok Nachala, he gets a portion, he gets a chelak in the Yerusha, in the inheritance. Just like we can draw on that awesome bond that we have to Avram and to Yitzchak and to Yaakov and to Kodesh Baruch Hu, which Avram himself set out to correct, Eliezer taught us that what? It's also possible, with commitment and dedication, to attach ourselves even to those people who are not biologically we're connected to. But if I adopt a person's way of thinking, I become a kusher to them. And it goes back again to that first piece that we learned. Adoniah, who was a biological son of David HaMelech, didn't know how to think like David HaMelech. Eliezer, who came from a cursed world of Canaan, attached himself to a tzaddik, to good influences, and he became mamish part of our family, to the point that he's able to be mazkir z'chus avos. Because the relationship between Eliezer and Avram was like the relationship of a father and a son. That's the bond that's formed by attaching yourselves to the people of Torah. Okay, so there's a lot to think about here. A lot to think about in terms of Amunah, a lot to think about in terms of relationships, attaching ourselves to the right people, surrounding ourselves by the right people. But again, also realizing, as Yismach Yisrael says over and over and over again, there's no such thing as a Jew who is abandoned by Hashem. And there's no place in the world where Hashem is not found. And Avram Avinu made it his life's mission to go out to the world and to correct that. To call Hashem Adon HaKol, the master over everyone and everything. There's no person, there's no place. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. A Jew can always find the Kadosh Baruch Hu everywhere and attach himself deeply to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Okay, Shkoyach. Thank our Rebbe, the Yismach Yisrael, for letting us attach ourselves to him. Very fortunate.